City Talk 105.9. Official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm.
Brian Reid on City Talk 105.9.
Hello, this is Brian Reid, and between now and 8 o'clock, there's another chance to hear the best of my Saturday morning show here on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. Patrick Ignatius, how are you? Paddy, what kind of week have you had, mate?
Brilliant.
Yeah, usual, teaching away at Liverpool Hope, so we've got lots of journalism going on. It's great that the students bring stuff in, but hasn't it been the bleakest week for news for years?
It's just getting bleaker and bleaker, mate.
I was listening to another network. I won't say which one, but it was RT Radio 1. And on the Drive Time show, Mary actually said, "I really do apologise for how serious these stories were, because really? It was the day with all the child abuse stories and Mumbai kicked off, and she actually apologised for the news being so bad."
Well, I mean, if the Daily Mail had to do that, I mean, there'd just be one big apology or right through the paper. You've actually been monitoring the Daily Mail this week, haven't you?
We're
getting a bit upset
between
with
me, you, and Lynn and Mike Chappell. We're kicking, as Hunter S. Thompson said about Richard Nixon, we're beating it like a dog with mange. But it's just like I looked at the Daily Mail, and I downloaded the Daily Mail's most read stories this week.
Yeah.
On Wednesday. Where do you hear this here? You know the Daily Mail effect? Well, I'll tell you what it is. Teenager becomes the youngest mother in Britain to give birth to Siamese twins. That's the feel-good story of the summer. Lesbian soldier pestered for sex by her male boss wins obscene, in inverted commas, £200,000.
That's got to be obscene, isn't it, if it's a lesbian? The Daily Mail won't like that.
Yeah, no. Builder forces gypsies off his land, .. by digging a moat around their camp. That's obviously the feel-good story for Daily Mail readers. I love it. Bloodbath in the high street. A cutthroat Christmas. House prices dropped 100,000 in 3 weeks. National Express driver was making safety announcement when he crashed and killed 3 passengers.
Lovely.
Do you know what Daily Mail's turned into? It's turned into Fraser. You know, Private Fraser from Dad's Army?
Yeah.
The Daily Mail should just have the headline, "We're all doomed."
I think you have Fraser off the telly where they all need therapy. But there was one good story of the week. Gordon Ramsay.
How good was that?
How good was that?
I think you'll find that's ex-Rangers footballer Gordon Ramsay.
Ex-Rangers footballer with size 15 boots. but I tell you why I thought it was so funny, apart from the fact that Ramsay deserves a good kicking, is the fact that if you'd ever read any interviews with him about his fantastic marriage, he was always saying how me and Tana, we just have a fantastic marriage. You know, she's the only woman whose arms I want to end up in at night. Of a Sunday morning, we just shut that door, kick the kids downstairs and get the champagne. No, you don't.
No, you don't. And he's always invading his own privacy on the F word, isn't he? Look at what a wonderful family. Yeah. Let's raise the chickens outside and see my wife tousled making chocolate brownies.
But you know, if you are celebrity dad of the year, if you are doing all this shit, I mean, for 7 years, would you be doing that behind the back? If for the simple reason that you just know that the News of the Whale are going to be onto you
Precisely.
At some point.
And would you choose the woman who's written the Adulteress's Handbook?
There was a few clues there, weren't there?
There was, wasn't there?
There was a couple of clues. And she's been with Jeffrey Archer. I mean, that in itself,
yeah, no,
that you could not go there, could you?
Oh, just on a number of levels.
A number of levels. But it did then, the Gordon Ramsay story did then give rise to every newspaper telling every married woman the telltale signs if her husband's having a mistress. And my God, they were very profound, you know.
Were they?
Yeah, yeah.
What are the telltale signs?
Is he smartening up his appearance? Do you catch him nervously on the phone? Does he sometimes get home late? Does he invent mysterious jobs away? Is he snappier with you? Does he buy himself new ties?
New ties?
Yeah. And then this is the really difficult one. I mean, how would you know this was happening if you found lipstick stains on his collar and shirt the smell of perfume? I mean, you might just have a bit of a clue, don't you?
Yeah.
You might just think this isn't quite normal.
It's not going to be the end of like a Hercule Poirot or Miss Marple where you're going to say to your husband that you'll be wondering why I've brought you here today.
But, you know, I mean, one thing teaches you following the media is that within a few months, the Ramsay thing will be forgotten. And
yeah.
It will all be gone. And a classic example this week, and not much has been made of it, but a classic example of how people do forget past misdemeanors and move on is who is replacing Jonathan Ross on the Comedy Awards?
Oh, yes, of course.
Angus Deaton.
Angus Deaton.
And remember the fuss with that, you know. Ridiculously thrown off of Argot News for you.
That was...
Hookers
that,
and cocaine is not good, but he wasn't married. It was his own
precisely.
Business.
Precisely. Yeah. But the only thing about Angus Deaton was that he had never actually... His girlfriend, Lisa, whatever her name is, you know, she's never... They're never pictured out together. They're never, you know, they're never pictured as some sort of, you know, celebrity, lovely marriage, like, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas Ramsay had invaded his own privacy so many times building this brand. Yeah. And he has a brand now, isn't he? If you go on the underground in London, you can't move for... 25 or 30 foot wide pictures of him selling Gordon's gin and, you know, books.
But she's going to stand by him. Why? Because that's why these.
Why? Because he's worth 25 million.
And she's a public school educated woman with a bit of breeding, and that's what they do. They know. That's what the royal family have always done. It's a chap. Chap's a chap. Whereas here, you know, it's the meat cleavers out, isn't it? The working class. That happens in Kirby. The chap comes off.
I remember seeing in a pub in Dublin once, a fella had been caught in flagrante. And I was just standing in this pub in Summerhill Parade, and Dublin's a really rough area. And the woman walked in, she threw his dinner at him and wrapped in tinfoil and hit him in the side of the head, knocked him off at barstool. The funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life. Was brilliant. There's none of this, oh, I'm going to stand by him because he's worth 25 million, you got 25 hotels.
Is everyone going, have a look at them spuds for us there, boy.
Speaking of spuds,
go ahead.
We hear this here because I was reading the Irish Times yesterday. And,
go ahead. Irish Times write about potatoes.
Well, we hear this here. It's even worse than that. They were doing this big thing. It was written by somebody called Jacinta Mary Morrow from Killiney or somewhere, you know, posh area of Dublin. But it's typical broadsheet notes, and they're trying to talk about, you know, this freegan, the freegan people who, you know, hook up in bins outside supermarkets to get, like, food.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, get free stuff. But there's this guy called Mark Boyle who's going to spend all day. Today's National Don't Spend a Penny Day or something. Lovely. You try not to spend money because, you know, but this guy Mark Boyle, who's from Donegal but lives in Bristol now, said that he was going to spend the whole day not he lives in a caravan. He's got like a compost heap which he uses for all his ablutions and stuff, and he's got a wood burner. But he was saying today, I'm not going to spend a penny. And he said, I'm going to put my potatoes where my mouth is.
That'd be good.
Where else are you going to put potatoes anyway? But on top of that, but the Irish Times, which is the most snooty middle class paper, the features department, they had tips for surviving 24 hours without splashing
always
out.
Always giving tips.
Right, first one is that daily cappuccino and croissant habit is costing you thousands. Transform last night's leftovers into a healthy breakfast hash. What happens if your dinner the night before was fish and chips?
Yeah.
And you're going to deep fry it? But anyway, so the next thing is invite yourself to a friend's house for lunch. Mm. Oh, that's fair enough.
Go on the cadge.
This is the best one. Best two, my two fears are replace your gym session with a refreshing run around the park, and don't forget to keep an eye out for wild mushrooms for supper. I've got a few mates who still look for wild mushrooms around September up around the university, but they're not for supper. And the last one is... if you're looking to save money, attend a book launch or an art opening. You can fill up on tasty canapes, and there's always plenty of free booze. So there you are, people living in a council house in Bootle. There's a book launch in the Blue Coat. Get down, get some warm white wine.
Yeah, get down the Strand Centre because there's bound to be a book launch today.
Yeah,
and you know, just fill up on the canapes. But yeah, I love that.
And foraging. You know, Phil from Swine Magazine, which I'm addicted to now. It's brilliant. Now he's been on, but he was saying that one of the girls had written a piece on foraging. You know, go foraging for bulbs. Isn't foraging...
That's shoplifting.
That's just shoplifting for middle-class people, isn't it? Just go to a hedgerow and buy yourself some wild sorrel and have some egg. It's middle-class shoplifting.
But foragers of the world, unite.
But the hand on your shoulder. But the thing about that is, like, you know, shoplifting is now taken off. It's all over the world this week. The big story is the credit crunch is on. Yeah. Everyone's shoplifting. Is that really a story? Didn't we expect that?
Yeah. Well, there's a few names you could drop in there, but remember we dropped it in last time, and sausages and vodka. We can't really do it again because
moving channels.
Food. Let's stay in that food line. Fabulously, the Tories this week have come out with the response to the recession. Andrew Lansley, who is the shadow something or other, came out and said that actually it's not that bad an idea, recession, because it'll make people eat less. And I was saying to you, the panel of the... If only he'd said that in 1845 to the Irish, eh?
I know.
If only he'd said, it's good for you eating less, you know? And then 2 million of you may die or emigrate, but it'd be good for you. Eating less is good for you. Well, it got even better today. Edward Lee, another La La Land senior Tory, they call him, but I don't think he's been around for a while. He's one of the Lamont tendency. Has come out and said that he's obviously slammed the government's reduction in VAT on these grounds. Because poor people will squander the tax breaks on luxury goods. It's no good giving the poor a 2.5% cut in VAT because they'll just squander it on luxury items. So what do the rich... Oh, you like clothes. Yeah. They're really luxury, aren't they? And food and that, you know. But, I mean, so what do the rich do? They squander it on a better quality of goods?
I think what the rich are going to do is they're going to take their tax break, convert it into running shoes and go hunt wild mushrooms in Sefton Park.
Go foraging.
Go foraging.
But it does come out, you know, it does show that idea that basically, why give money back? What they're saying is, you know, it's good for the country, it's good for the working class, you get a bit of backbone if you eat less fatty foods. And it's no good giving you money because you go and buy your horrible common plasma television screen. Forgetting the fact that that is exactly why they're doing it, because the government want people to squander. It's the fact that they're not squandering anymore.
The best thing about our consumer boom is that we've all squandered money for the last 20 years on things we don't need.
Yeah.
You know, 20 years ago, we didn't have plasma screen TVs or mobile phones.
So if you listen to this, remember, recession is good for you. Eating less will do you good. And when you get your 2.5% cost of that, don't squander it.
No, go spend the money on a taxi fare to go to a book launch and get some canapes.
A lot of people going on about Echo and the Bunnymen back at the Echo Arena. But I've only got one question on that. Why is McCulloch still wearing shades indoors all the time when he's nearly 50?
Ian McCulloch's the only member of his generation who actually behaves like a teenager, because he's the sort of person who probably would wear a hat indoors.
That's every picture of him.
I know, that's what separates us, our generation, from the people I teach at Liverpool Hope, is that the younger generation are different from us, including Paul in the box here, because he probably has worn a hat indoors. And McCulloch's one of those people who... No, he's...
Andrew Sherlock wore a hat in there. Yeah.
Have you noticed?
Just after Chris Burton said, what do you hate the most from? What's the annoying thing anyone can do? Wear a hat indoors.
Yeah, I know, we've said this before. But have you noticed how McCulloch's shades are getting bigger the older he gets?
Well, he wears
shades. I've seen him in a pub in Lark Lane, the darkest pub, in Agresco, whatever it's called. And he wears shades in there, and it's like...
Everyone's
CBGB
walking around with a stick and a Labrador just to get to the bar.
Yeah, everyone's wearing like Jimmy, those lamps that you wear in the mine. Yeah, and McCulloch's got his glasses on, talking about ocean rain.
last week, with Lynn, this word came out. You'll know because you're down with the kids, aren't you?
Mm.
Fe. I mean, had you heard that word, fe?
I hadn't. I have to say, Lynn was breaking new ground for me.
Well, it's another letter in the Times. This only seems to be getting discussed in the Times letters page. Okay, someone from Wigan. Someone actually could have said, told Claire then. Someone from Wigan for a billion inches in.
Wigan in it, don't you mean?
In Wigan, fe means ugly. Probably taken from the dialect foul. Hence, a person can have fair hair and a fair face. Fair hair and an ugly face. A common disparaging comment about a woman is, "Is as fair as a clog back. Or is as fair as a dolly tub." So there you go, just had to update you on the use of the word
fair. Yeah.
Has Belfast got another word for fair?
No. I mean, I know that people who are particularly ugly are known as trogs from troglodyte. She's a trog.
In the 70s.
She's a trog. Troglodyte.
Trog. We trog.
Yeah, thanks for patronising my brand. 15 years I've been... What is it about being Irish that everyone thinks it's lovely to do your accent? You don't go up to Chris and do a red car accent, do you?
He hasn't got one.
That's fair enough.
You're constantly doing Scouse accents on this radio show.
Well, I had to, because I used to play football in the Sunday League in Bootle. If I didn't put on a Scouse accent, I got kicked stupid.
No, every time you talk about a woman out in her pyjamas with a child in pyjamas, all of a sudden Ella speaks with a Scouse accent.
That's very true, yeah. I banged her right, and no mistake, Governor.
What else have you got there, mate?
The best one of the week. Sorry, I have to get my chair up for this. The best story of the week is a shock jock on another station, which we wouldn't listen to, John Gaunt, who I saw leading a kind of Nazi rally in Waterstones in Luton not so long ago when people were lining up to get his book signed.
What were you doing there?
I was at a conference. I was.
You've been hanging around for a few free canapes with.
As Chris would tell you, I was delivering a paper. And I was walking through Luton. And the thing about Luton is that it's full of asylum seekers, because it only has three. Basically, if you where you're from so bad you want to live in Luton, you should be allowed to live there.
Mm.
But John Gaunt was sacked this week from Talk Sport or whatever it's called. I never listened to it. Because he had described somebody as a health and safety Nazi or something like this.
Well, it was the fact that he didn't put the health and safety before the Nazi.
Well, he called him a Nazi.
He called him a Nazi. And then afterwards his apology was, "I meant to say you're a health Nazi."
Yeah.
And they suspended him. Then they brought him back on air. Then they obviously worked out how much they pay him. And so, we've got an excuse here. So they sacked him. But everyone's people that you would not suspect but jump into his defence.
The best thing was that Shami Chakrabarty.
Chakrabarty.
Yeah, Steve Silk Hurley, isn't it? Chakrabarty. It's the greatest Chicago dance classic. She came on. She's from Liberty, isn't she? And she was described by John Gaunt as the most...
Oh, he hates her.
He described her as the most dangerous woman in Britain. Mm. And so she was being brained. She's been on every radio station I listen to, and I listen to a lot of radio stations. And she was being
on... He always stays with one of 5.9, The Voice of Liverpool.
Yeah, I always do get back to that. But she was on, and she was on Sky News as well, saying, you know, it's terrible what's happened to John Gunt. I'll know what he said about me, but this really is a terrible invasion of his rights. I just think she's sitting there grinning as much as she can. It's been brilliant.
But yeah, of course. But Matthew Norman in The Independent, who slags Gunt off constantly, came to his defence. I've got to be fair, I thought he was a bit over the top, basically. I mean, what he was talking about was he was brought up in care, and he was responding to a move in legislation which says that if you smoke, if you're a smoker,
that's right, yeah,
you can't adopt
kids. Yeah.
So it must have got him annoyed, kind of. But he came up with that word, apologised, and it was clear that he just wanted to get rid of him.
Yeah.
You know? But I do find it, don't you think that when someone like Chakrabarty comes onto it to say, look, I'm defending my enemy, it's kind of adding to their own credibility. It's totally why they're doing
it. Of course it is.
It's
yeah.
like saying, hey, look, I'm so right on. I'm even defending John Gunn, you know.
It's a definition of that kind of really loony sort of 1980s leftiness, isn't it? Like, you know.
I've been scouring the Daily Mail this weekend on other right-wing papers to see if anybody says, I refuse to call it Mumbai. It's still not Bombay. You know, and unfortunately, I haven't come across one yet. It was Little John always did that. You know, it was like, Mumbai, political correctness. Go, no, that's what they want to call themselves. Bombay is the days of empire.
Well, actually, no, because if you've looked this week on the TV, a lot of the Indian people who've been interviewed were calling it Bombay on a lot of the 24-hour news channels.
Yeah, they're just the people who read the Daily Mail online.
They're self-haters, aren't they?
There's a classic one with the Queen Mother. The Queen Mother refused until she died. Well, she couldn't refuse further than that.
Oh, yeah.
To call him Zimbabwe, to call Rhodesia Zimbabwe. She kept saying, I refuse to call it Zimbabwe.
But you're not kind of intransigence, isn't it? People, it's a kind of lunacy. It's a people, I mean, calling Derry London Derry. I mean, it doesn't bother me. You call it Stroke City.
But that's more of a religious thing, isn't it?
Well, yes.
Catholics call it Derry.
But it's a kind of lunacy. I did my first master's up in Coleraine, University of Ulster, and I got the Widgery Report, which was a report written after Bloody Sunday.
Yeah.
And there was a copy of the Widgery Report, 96-page document. It's like a kind of pamphlet, almost like a small book. It wasn't like a proper book. And somebody had gone through every single page of the Widgery Report and scratched out the prefix London in front of Derry all the way through the book. She held the book up, it was just holes all the way through all the pages. That's a kind of lunacy, that's a madness. She's got a 12-step programme.
Yeah, but I can see that. I can see that in the sense that was part of the cause of Bloody Sunday. Not that they called it London, Derry, but you know what I mean? The local Catholic population would say, you know, this just sums up how we're kind of subdued.
Well, yes, but we've gone through every single mention in a book like that, that's mentalist. Just, you know, if you say a word several times, it begins to lose its meaning.
Yeah.
Just say Londonderry, Londonderry, Londonderry. After a while, you know.
The BBC call it Londonderry, don't they?
They've got strict guidance. They call Londonderry first and then Derry after it.
Yeah.
They've got the style book on these things. Yeah.
I tell you what really gets on my wick in that respect.
That?
Whenever I pay a cheque in at HSBC and you do it yourself, so you don't have to queue for 7 hours. The pay slips in Welsh. In Egbeth, they've got it, well, mainly in Welsh, and there's the English underneath. And I'm not, you know, I'm not one of these, I want it in English, but I said, why? Why is it in Egbeth? Or is it telling me how to pay it in Welsh?
Yeah.
I mean, how much did HSBC lost last year?
No,
maybe
yeah.
If you took all the Welsh words off, I'm going to get some complaints from Wales.
I mean, I'm not a big believer in the Irish language or the Welsh language, but I think they're faintly ridiculous now, because how do you know it's Welsh spelt? How do you know it's Czech spelt in Welsh? Because they've changed the E to a W. It's called Chuk or whatever it is.
Snooker. Snooker.
Ostibu.
But my favourite one of that was listening to S4C years ago, because I think they were showing Wales v Ireland and you could pick S4C up in Liverpool. So I was listening to it, and the commentary is in Welsh, obviously. Mark Hughes. Joey Jones.
Ian Rush.
And the next thing, they were going to Sir Owen Wells. Next thing you heard, the crowd was saying, who's that in the black? all the abuse was in English from the crowd. So you think, there's something wrong here.
Do you have, I don't know if they have it in this country anymore, they used to have a show called Police Six, where, you know, a copper would come on and say, say what was the roundup in Northern Ireland, but in the south of Ireland they had it was called Police Six, and a big guard, a dirty great guard would come on and say, and he would say, like, you know, there's been a murder and such, but they used to have a bit in Irish, and you have, you know, Tashi and Tanya on robbery, on a video cassette recorder, DVD player. Everything that was stolen was always in English.
We're going to have a special report on footballers, you know, I mean, just footballer burglary update.
Yeah.
But I noticed this week that, talking about footballers, great little link, Danielle Lloyd, Liverpool's most famous woman since Cilla Black, Because of New South Wales, she has now, she's on her sixth.
Oh, let me guess.
She's on her sixth footballer.
All right, I thought you were going to say she's done a PhD at the Tropical Science.
No, she's done that. She got that. But she's on it. Can you guess who her sixth footballer is? I'll give you the others. Jermaine Defoe, Marcus Bent, Teddy Sheringham, Armand Traore, Gerard Piqué. This one plays for Liverpool.
Joey Jones. Oh, right. Players for Liverpool.
Basically, and it's Ryan Babel. It's
Ryan Babel, right.
But she's fair enough, nothing wrong with that. Nice looking fella, nice looking woman, etc. But I loved the quote from one of her friends in the paper said, Danielle first met Ryan when she was home in Liverpool a while back and was attracted to his shy side. So she liked him because she's shy. Which begs the question, shy of 3.5 million a year or just shy of 4 million a year? Yeah. What first attracted you to that Dutch international of £4 million a year?
The only thing about Ryan, sorry to talk over you, is I think about Ryan Babel. I thought Ryan was a committed Christian. So I don't know whether Daniela's lifestyle might, you know, come into conflict with Ryan's.
But she's a committed Christian too, probably. Shilpa Shetty might be the bridesmaid if they get married, though. Mamma Mia.
Here we go again.
Just tell me your reaction when you hear people talking about the film Mamma Mia.
My heart sinks to my boots and I want to throw up.
And so does mine. It's one of those films that you know you're going to hate. You personally never want to see it because you know you'd loathe it.
Did you ever think you'd ever say the words, stop spoiling ABBA for me?
No, but I realised this week why I hate it so much without seeing it, which I know is a bit, you shouldn't really do it the way. You're not the fairest of critics, are you?
No.
But just it's the people who love it. It's all these women going, it's just so uplifting.
Go have a sing and a dance.
And The Guardian did a big special on it.
I thought I was...
It's the mother of all musicals. It's making, and so they asked these women, various women about, you know, famous chattering class women like Jane Asher, why it's the best thing that's ever happened. And Kathy Lett, author.
Oh, God.
This is the quote which sums it up, right? This is a life-affirming film about female friendship, which proves that women are each other's human wonder wrath.
Oh, no.
Uplifting, supportive, and making each other look bigger and better.
Oh, no. The only good thing about that piece written by Kathy Lett was she didn't have a ridiculous pun in it, did she?
Well, she just did. Well, it's not really a pun.
But the thing's always written by Kira Cochran or Tanya Gold or whoever. It's just The Guardian sometimes really annoys committed Jane Guardian Asher. Easters like me.
Jane Asher says, I'm a Mamma Mia groupie. What, you hang around
pizza shops?
You jump on pizza delivery men.
I've seen films like that.
Anything else there? Paddy Ho is with me, and it's just amazingly come to 26 minutes past 10. We're just chewing the fat on this week's news.
First thing was, this was in your paper. Oh, sorry, favourite newspaper of the week. I found a lovely newspaper in Pennsylvania, the Beaver County Times and Allegheny Times.
The Beaver County Times?
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah. Allegheny Times.
That's any page threes?
Sorry. But Daily Mirror today, the Daily Mirror this week had a great story. I thought, I don't know if it was in any other papers because I only read the Mirror on this day.
What were you doing? Look, hang on. Just let me just stop you there. So you've gone on the internet to find this paper, the Beaver County Times. What words did you import in the internet to get that?
I typed, in fairness, I know my wife's away for the weekend, but in fairness.
You put County Times in?
No, in fairness, I typed in www.timesonline.com to get the Sunday Times, and it gets you through to the Beaver County Times because they're Times Online. Because, of course, it's www.timesonline.co.uk for Ripper Rocks esteemed
dog. Okay.
But
you didn't put the word. No, go
Daily Mirror, cops spend £30,000 on flip flops for drunk women. Have you seen this story? That's somewhere down. It's somewhere down. Is it?
Yeah.
First of all, it's somewhere down at Exeter or somewhere down the West Country.
Yeah.
And they're saying, in today's health and safety mad climate, it's flipping barmy step. See what they've done there. But they're saying 30,000 on, and the Daily Mail saying, like, you know, why they're spending 30,000 on women. That's political correct. It's gone mad. But they said the Daily Mirror has used a word that hasn't been used other than in newspapers.
Not bunk.
No, by anybody else other than, nobody has used this in Geoffrey Chaucer in the 14th century, I've checked. They describe boozy girl revellers. Have you ever said,
revelers?
I'm going revelling tonight.
Saturday night revellers. There's be plenty out there.
The last person who used that was the wife of Bath. But anyway, they're saying £30,000 on flip-flops because girls get so legless they can't walk home in high heels. Why are they spending?
So they're handing out flip-flops in town centre.
Why don't they just buy 30,000 copies or 20,000 copies of Cosmopolitan magazine? They're always giving away free flip-flops and women can't get enough of it.
Another word that's only used by newspapers.
Yeah?
Tryst.
Tryst. Tryst. Yes.
Gordon Ramsay's Tryst, a secret tryst. T-R-Y-S-T. I mean, does that ever get used in...
I mean, so a bloke walks into the public and he's got a black eye and he said, what happened? And I said, my missus found me in a tryst.
that's tryst again. I've just got to touch on Ronaldo this week, my favourite footballer. Ferguson, I mean, he got kicked all over the pitch the other night. But have you seen the way
good.
He's reacted?
Isn't
he obviously hates being at Man United. His head is clearly cabbaged. And he's sat there and he's moaning.
His sweet is cabbaged.
Into feet. So he gets the old kick. He's flying all over the place. Fergie goes, it's disgusting. We need more protection. They're hunting him in packs. What, like you did with Torres? What, like you did with Antonio Reyes? But in the midst of it all, my favourite Cockney, Ray Winston. I think
is he a Cockney Ray?
You can't knock Ray Winston, can you? He's a West Ham fan. He's got a DVD out in which he analyses Ronaldo very, very astutely. He says, Ronaldo is not fit to lace George Best boots. If Ronaldo was playing 30 years ago, he would have been smashed to pieces. He drives me insane with his whining. It showed what he thought of his teammates when he was flirting with Real Madrid. That was a slag move. You're a slag.
And you see that he allegedly met up, shall we say, or had a tryst with a promotions girl at the Old Trafford. Trafford Centre.
Is that a lot of trysts, actually?
And apparently he kept his sunglasses on throughout the tryst.
It wasn't McCulloch, was it? That would be the tryst, wouldn't it?
Maybe he's now echoing the Bunnymen tribute band.
Is there a favourite Cockney? I mean, we should make that a topic. Are there Cockneys that we like?
I like, yes. Billy Bragg, yeah. But he's not really a Cockney. Phil Jupitus. Danny Baker.
Phil Jupitus?
I like Phil Jupitus. But he's not really a Cockney, is he? Because he's from Dagenham, isn't he? Or no, he's from... Just there was a great gag last week on Have I Got News For You.
Suggs.
the details of the BNP membership have been published online. It contains an actor, an author, and Dagenham.
The best of Brian Reid on City Talk 105.9.
The voice of Liverpool.
City Talk 105.9. Brian Reid on City Talk 105.9.
Welcome back. This is Brian Reid bringing you the best of my Saturday morning show here on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. I'm very pleased to introduce somebody called Liam Moore and his Tom Breen, who's involved in the same project as him. And just let me tell you a little about Liam. Is a singer and former drug user. He's turned a full-time minister, who's taken an amazing stand against guns and crime among schoolchildren in Croxteth and Norris Green. He's running a project called You're the Voice. He's going to schools, telling the kids about his life. He's setting up choirs. And he's singing a new version of You're the Voice, a very famous song. With help from people like OMD founder Andy McCluskey, he's aiming to bring it out as a single early next year as part of a big campaign that is the kids that will have the kids in North Liverpool saying no guns, no knives, no loss of lives. Liam, thanks for joining us today. Thanks, Tom, for coming in.
Okay.
Part of the project. Just tell us briefly exactly what is this, because I know this is going to be a big thing next year, and I know you've been working a lot on it, and you haven't really released any. This is the first time you're really talking about it. Just tell us exactly what it's about.
Basically, I'm from the Norris Green, Croxteth area. I was from Norris Green, and I live in the Croxteth area. I've just been going into the local schools within primary and secondary. As what you said before, just sharing my story of my highs and my lows, and just basically just getting alongside them. I was just sick and tired, really, of all the bad publicity and the negative kind of vibes that, you know, southern media was coming up here, trashing our area and, like, going away and, like, not really knowing the people. You know, it's that kind of stigma, isn't it, about Liverpool people saying, you know, when I used to go out singing and that, like, it was like kind of, you know, have you locked your car and, you know, we're going to have any wheels on me car and that. And it's just that stigma, isn't it? You know, I remember when there was a lot of things going on within the Norris Green and Croxteth area, and some of the southern media just totally and utterly trashed the area. And it was like we were kind of reprobates, you know, we were like kind of, you know, not worth anything and whatever. And I know that's to be different. I know Norris Green people and Croxteth people are good people, you know. And so also as well for the kids, you know, I just look at these kids and that, and, you know, we need to, like, instill hope into these kids and that, like, you know, they're looking for role models. And no disrespect to local footballers or whatever, but, you know, everyone starts to aspire to be something. But, you know, what's wrong with being a taxi driver? What's wrong with just being, like, a kind of role model where you're working Fords or something like that and you're married and you've got a couple of kids? You know, you're doing the right thing, aren't you?
So the essence of your... What's different about what you're trying to do is, and it comes in the word the voice, is you're trying to say to the kids, look, the way to solve these problems, the way to get out of problems with drugs, guns and crime, is for yourselves to stand up. And it's got to come from within. Is that kind of...
Well, it's like the heart's cry of the children, isn't it? You know, and for me, is that these kids don't want to be part of this gang culture. They don't want to be part of the drugs. They don't want to be part of the guns and the knives sketch, you know. They want to play footy and they want to have a good time and they want to know that they're in a safe environment and that. And, you know, the most profound thing about it is that these kids are making a stand, as what you said, and they are saying, you know, we are not going to sit in silence and we're not going to live in fear. You know, we want our area back. We want our city back.
So what you've done again, which is kind of different, you've put it into action. You've gone into the schools, you've organised 12 schools, is that right?
We've got 12 schools at the moment in Norris Green.
What have you been doing in those schools?
Well, basically what I did was, initially I went in, knocked on the door, I was talking to the headmasters and I said, listen, my name's Liam. I was on Stars in the Eyes as Phil Collins. Used to go all around the world doing Phil Collins, sung in front of Phil Collins, being endorsed by him. And even though I had a little bit of trapping of like kind of fame in some way, you know, it wasn't enough. It just wasn't enough. You know, my life was in bits. You know, my mum had died, my girlfriend had got off, I was on drugs. And basically, I wasn't being fulfilled. And so I came to a point in my life, like, you know, what I thought, what is life all about? And I was about to, you know, take my own life. And as I was about to take my own life, I heard a voice. People might say it's cranky or mad or whatever, but mate, it changed my life around and it transformed me. And so for the last like 7 years or whatever, I've been going into all the kinds of darkest places and to tell people about how my life's changed. And so that's what I said to the school teachers. I said, listen, you know, I'm not coming on it like on a religious path. What I'm saying is my life's changed around and it's been transformed. And I believe that I can relate to these kids and, you know, show them that, like, you know, going down that wide road is not the answer. Going down like the drugs road is not the answer. Going down like that joining gangs and all that is not the answer.
So you went into the likes of De La Salle, my old school.
Your old school, yeah.
And they said, go on, look, get up at assembly and talk to them.
We did PHSC. We've done assemblies, and basically what we did then is we've done workshops. And what I seen then is because you were interacting and they were proactive with the concept and what we were doing, you know, I seen like a flicker, you know what I mean? I seen a light, I seen a hope. And I thought, you know, there's got to be a way of kind of like putting this across, not just to the city, but to the country. And, you know, as I said before, I was sick and tired of, you know, the bad media and the negative vibes. And so I thought, well, wouldn't it be great if we got like Norris Green and Crocky together and brought them together through song? Because, you know, it says in, you know, in a famous saying that like where words fail, music speaks. And there is power in song. There is power. And this song, You're the Voice, is a song John Farnham brought out about 20 years ago. But if you listen to the words, mate, it's so now, it's so profound.
Okay, well, let's have this is you singing it, isn't it?
This is me singing it,
and this is the rough cut. But this is what eventually you're hoping all the kids in Liverpool schools will sing as a kind of anti-drugs, anti-crime. And if you're right, the lyrics are very, very apt. So we're just going to be a snatch now from The Voice. About to say, how long can we look at each other down the battle of a gun, which I think is very, very apt. Before we go any further, I can tell how you won Stars in Your Eyes, Phil Collins. Did you win it?
Not the whole series.
I thought that's just Phil Collins. What's even more frightening is he looks like him.
On a good day.
But no, that,
got
I mean,
more hair.
He's got more, yeah. But he's got more money.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, getting back to the song, I mean, that is a very powerful song, and the lyrics, I think, are so good and when it's linked to crime. It's almost been picked for you, hasn't it? And you said you had a voice.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, I wanted kind of, you know, in any way I can, give back to my community. Do you know what I mean? I've been in America for the last 3 years, and it's funny how I ended up back in my own town, so to speak. You know, I was ready to get back over to America and get off on that, but my house got robbed and my car got robbed, and I thought, well, that's it, mate. You know, that's the sign. I'm going to put me for sale sign up and I'm gone. And when I got back, I just felt challenged. I felt challenged that I was going to, like, the other side of the world, sharing good news, going into death row, going with the lifers and all that. And yet, like, you know, you've got Ross Kemp, who's been to Belize and Brazil and whatever and all that. And, mate, he's doing, like, guns and gangs on my doorstep. And it's like, you know, we need to address the balance here.
Yeah.
And, you know, that these kids, you know, not all of them are feral, not all of them, like, are all reprobates and that. Mm. And so, you know, what better than through the power of song? The thing is, as well, it's not just about the song, it's about the campaign.
Yeah.
What we're saying is, you're the voice.
Well, let's get on to that. Oh, by the way, you listen to Liam Moore, who's putting together a campaign called You're the Voice, which is basically trying to empower kids in North Liverpool and Liverpool and hopefully across the country to stand up for themselves and to kind of say to people, we've had enough. We want to move on and have a normal life. Now, I want to go back to the specific. Are you organising the schools into choirs?
Yeah, what happened was we've got 25 kids from each school and there's 12 schools.
Right.
That's 300.
And they're training now, they're singing the song.
They're singing the song.
Yeah.
And the thing is as well, is that, like, you know, the headmasters and the headmistresses have been so overwhelmed because the kids love the song.
Yeah.
Mate, they're doing it in assemblies.
Yeah.
So you're not talking 300 kids. Mate, you're talking 6,500 kids
yeah.
are singing it.
The whole
it.
School is
and
singing
they're all, yeah, no, the whole schools, all the schools yeah. are singing it. And so, you know, I'm saying, like, you know, we've got 6,500 kids who are going home to the mums and dads and singing this song and all that, like, and it's an anthem in it.
Mm.
It's like a catchy song and all that. And so what we're saying is mate, if we can do Norris Green and Crocky,
yeah.
who are supposed to be the lowest of the lowest of the low, then what's the difference in Tocky? What's the difference in Garston? What's the difference in Blutal or Sefton and that? And we want, like, a voice from Merseyside to kind of be the leading light for the rest of the country, because this is the kids.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's got this campaign going and you know, through tragic circumstances, and I understand that and that, like, type of thing. But, you know, we want the voices cry from the kids.
And I just want to point out that this isn't just something off the top of your head which is going nowhere, because you've got a lot of influential people on board.
Yeah.
Andy McCluskey. I'll bring you in a minute, Tom. You can
That's
tell
right,
us.
Yeah,
but, yeah, Tom, come in and tell us who's... I mean, Andy McCluskey of OMD fame has got his own recording studios. Is he going to produce the song?
He's already done about a couple of mixes of the music, hasn't he?
Yeah, he said that, like, he can give us the studio time and whatever.
So the choirs will go expertise. In and they'll be doing the backing.
The Lighthouse, we're going to be the Lighthouse in Anfield.
Yeah.
That's going to be involved. You know, we're doing assemblies with Super Youth, with Liverpool Football Club. Everton Football Club want to get involved. You know, I know that it's really close to your heart as well.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, it's just it just seems the right time, doesn't it?
Have the council, have you approached the council for anything?
Yeah, we're gonna be meeting up with the movers and shakers of the council. We're doing a thing tomorrow, if people are listening, that we're doing a community Sunday in St. Teresa's tomorrow, which is all, like, kind of the churches getting together from Norris Green and Croxford, and we're going to have, like, a celebration. And I'm going to be singing the song with Emmaus Choir and Leamington School Choir,
which,
like,
100
kids.
Croxford, yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be, like, kind of the first time we sing it in the area. So that's 3 o'clock, St. Teresa's. If you want to get down there and support that, that'll be cool.
And Tom, I mean, it's very topical. Obviously, we can't talk about the Rhys Jones trial because it's just coming to an end.
Yeah.
But it is coming to an end. Probably a verdict next week. There's going to be a lot of soul searching. There's going to be a lot of stuff in national media, backgrounds,
yeah.
about what, whichever way it goes. This story isn't going away. People
no.
are getting shot. Young people are getting knifed. What attracted you to this project when Liam said it to you? I mean, because you've got involved.
Like, yeah, I was helping a lady called Pat Hughes. She's doing, like, a band thing. I help bands, basically. Called Room 21, and we help bands.
Your
get
management,
them.
Aren't you?
Not so much management, I just help
Promotion.
Them get gigs and
yeah.
stuff. Yeah, I work full time in a kids' home, so I work with the youth. I've done volunteer mentoring with Knowsley Council. As I said, I was helping Pat, she had a band going with ex drug addicts and alcoholics. I was helping there, and Liam come along to one of the meetings I had. It was in Crocky Hall Park, wasn't it? And that's where I met Liam. And when Liam told me about his idea, and I know music does get to the young kids, and working with kids in a care home, you realise, like, it could be something as simple as football or dance or
yeah.
whatever. If you show interest to that kid, and that kid realises, wow, I'm good at this, and the self-esteem builds up, you've got the key to working with the kids, you know what I mean? And then you can easily influence them in a positive way rather than let them go down the negative path, do you know what I mean?
And how do you see It's going to get recorded in February, the whole project. I mean, I've seen the posters you've got for brilliant, brilliant posters. You know, you're really professional. You're slick in what you're doing. You're hoping to get a lot of national interest as well. How do you see the campaign going, Tom? What would you hope for?
Well, myself personally, I reckon it's going to chart. It's going to chart and go national, I think, like, being honest.
It could, actually.
And the message is going to go right across. Every kid's going to want it, I think. Like, and the stuff that we're planning on coming out with, the T-shirts and stuff, we've got, like, two designs, which you've seen. One's aimed at the young people, one's more of an adult one, like, and it's just going to boom, I think, like.
I think as well, like, you know, there's a three-pronged attack here, you know. It's, like, not just about the song. The song is the hook. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, the song is like kind of, you know, you're singing it. And then, like he was saying to you, mate, get the message. You know, and this is not just about anti-guns or whatever. You, me and you, we're just so alike, aren't we, on our principles and what we believe in and that. Mate, it's about racism. It's about bullying.
Yeah.
You know, it's about all injustices. Mm-hmm. You know, like Michael Shields, do you know what I mean? It's about injustice, mate.
Is it about saying, it's about the fact that what you're saying...
People being standing up and, well, and saying enough's enough.
But also the areas you've gone into, right... Norris Green, Croxus, you know.
Yeah.
They're defined nationally, they're defined not just in the media, but in kind of statistics as deprived areas, okay? Mm-hmm. In terms of jobs, in terms of people on benefits, etc. And I always think when there's knifings and there's gun attacks, they always seem to happen. It don't happen too much in Henley-on-Thames. They don't happen too much in nice parts of Buckinghamshire. That's the link to me. It's kind of, it's poverty, it's hopelessness for the kids.
That's right.
They're
yeah.
not given, as you say, they're not given really positive role models in ordinary life about... What's wrong with getting a job as a taxi driver? Right. You don't have to aspire to be on X Factor and be... Because to me, a lot of it is kids thinking, I've got to get... It's a get-rich-quick society. And they're thinking, going into drugs is a way that I will get all my dreams.
Well, the thing is that, like, not everyone's going to be Wayne Rooney. You know, I live around the corner from Wayne Rooney, do you know what I mean? Like, where he got brought up and that. And from where Colleen and that. Just normal people. Mates with, like, you know, Wayne Rooney, extraordinary gift. A God-given gift.
Literally one of them.
What God-given gift. You know, but you go in and, like, you see a picture of Wayne Rooney. And, you know, not everyone's going to be a Wayne Rooney. You know, Franny Jeffers went there and all that as well, didn't he? Paul Jewell went to Dela Salle. And, you know, but the thing is that, you know, when, as you said, that kind of, when that, like, when the dreams are shattered, so to speak, and all that, and they get jibbed from, like, Liverpool or get jibbed from Everton, what are they going to do then? You know, what are they going to aspire to do then and all that? You know, and so the thing is that it's so easy. It's so easy to sell drugs. Mm. It's so easy to be one of the crowds. It's so easy to be, like, one of the flock and all that. But, you know, but there are people there now who are saying, we don't want that. We don't want that because we see the repercussions. We see the flowers on the lampposts. Mm. We see the obituaries and the echo. We don't want it no more. Mm. We don't want it. We're sick and tired of it. You know, we talk to the dockers, don't we? You and I know the dockers and that. And, you know, for what they stood for, my dad was convener of Ford's for 25 years and that. And it's like, you know, he stood for principally... Like he was principally minded, but he stood for fundamental basic things that, like, were for ordinary working class people, rank and file. And this is the thing as well, Brian. This is a rank and file grassroots campaign from the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, this is like...
There's been singers who've gone elsewhere. I mean, if not a great parallel, but when kind of Bob Geldof and Bono go to Africa, they're not actually from Africa. And they kind of... But that's not to decry what they're doing, by the way, but you are actually from that area.
But I think it's the voice for the voiceless, isn't it? You know, I'm talking on a spiritual level and all that. Isaiah 58 said, you know, we need to loose the chains of injustice. We need to look after the poor, the weak, the lame, the abandoned and all that. For me, that's what Christianity is all about. And, you know, in certain parts of it, the church has lost it in certain ways, but there is a remnants in the church who go out and do what Jesus tells them to do. And all I'm doing is being a light and a beacon. Mate, my life was changed around. I've got hope, I've got destiny, and I've got a future. And, you know, I want to instill this hope. And there's nothing better when you, as I said to you, I invited you tonight to go into the schools. You know, these kids coming up to you, they haven't got nothing and that, but I tell you what, mate, they've got a whole lot of love. And it breaks you. It breaks your heart.
It's boss seeing a smile on their face when they've achieved something, or they feel as they've achieved something, and you know it's worthwhile then, you know what I mean? But going back to that role model, the role models are out there. The role models I've found, like, with jumping in with Liam and helping him out, I've sort of helped him on the networking side of things with the music, getting in touch with Andy McCluskey and setting things up, whatever. But we've also set the MySpace up, and just the messages coming back from Croxton and Norris Green, I didn't know we've got...
Beyond as well,
we've got excellent boxers out there. Mm. There's martial arts people, there's actors, there's actresses,
dancers.
There's dancers, and you're like, wow, I didn't know, like, there was that many people, and they're all stepping forward, supporting, leaving comments, and you know, that's what we want the kids to look at and go, look at these are doing it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's it, really.
I think for me as well, it's the practicality. We were saying about the song. The song is the hook. The campaign is, like, you know, to make it visible and that you're the voice. You know, we're doing it with the kids, we're doing it with the adults. But number three, we're doing workshops and we're doing projects. And so what we're doing is we're getting, like, kind of a 60-minute makeover team into the schools for a week or whatever. We're creative dance, creative arts, poetry, physical education, you know, all these different giftings and all that. People who've been there, people who've got the story and all that. And we're going in and, like, kind of, we're saying to them, like, you know, we're using that kind of, you know, gifting or that type of project and say that you can be a voice. So in physical education and musical workshops, we've done songs where kids have written it themselves and all that, and they've addressed the social issues of what's going on. It's very kind of, you know, under the table, so to speak, but we're addressing social issues with
what
we're
doing. Did
you
come up against much opposition, Liam? Because I would have thought, you know, if I had gone back to my old school, De La Salle, and said, I'm going to do what you're doing, there would have been a lot of kids going, on your way. I don't want to know.
Well, we just done an assembly in with Bill Bygraw's at Truth for Youth, Liverpool Football Club, on Wednesday. And, mate, we had 600 kids singing You're the Voice in the assembly.
Amazing.
Kids love it. The kids love it. It's an anthem.
What have the headmasters been saying to you?
Brilliant. They love it because, like, you know, I'm from the area. Yeah. They know that, like, you know, at the end of the day, you're going in, you're knocking on the door, and the climate that we live in, and that, you know, you've got to be CRB checked and all that. But, you know, my heart is for these kids because, you know, if these kids aren't reached, where are they going to be in 20 years' time? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Like, you know, we need to pass the mantle onto these kids. And so what we're saying is before, you're exactly right. We're engaging and empowering the kids of today to be the voice of tomorrow.
When you've spoken to the kids, and you come in this room, Tom, if you want to. Crazy. Since the Rhys Jones shooting, has that got into the minds of a lot of the local kids and gone, oh, God, I'm turning my back on that? Has that had, and the repercussions of it, and a lot of people, you know, coming together, you know, Liverpool Unite and et cetera, et cetera. Has that got into the minds of the kids? Do any kids come up to you and refer back to that and go, well...
Absolutely, because, you know, I think what we're doing is we're addressing social relevance issues and that, but we're going about it, like, in a different way. You know, we're using song, we're using poetry, we're using dance, we're using whatever way, urban, wise, or whatever and all that, to get the points across. And to say to them, you know, if someone said to me, like scientifically or whatever, if you say to someone 12 times or something, you're rubbish, you're garbage, blah, 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 you're never going to make anything, that kid will believe that. But if you go up and say to them, do you know what, mate, you're awesome, you're fantastic, you're amazing, do you know what, there is a destiny and a plan and a future for your life, and you can be anything that you want to be. You know, you don't have to join the gangs, you don't have to do drugs, or you don't have to sleep around and all, you don't have to be a gangster's moll, you don't have to do this and all that. You can be whoever you want to be, individual, and you can make anything that you want to make. And soon as you start instilling that into them, they start waking up and smelling the Kenko. Do you know what I mean? And going, do you know what, mate? You're right. You're right. I can. And so the positiveness that we have had from this, and I believe, as I said, you know, that we can take this beyond. And, you know, if we get the voices cry of Merseyside, because it's always Merseyside that takes the lead. You know, you go back politically and all that, it's always Merseyside who takes the lead. It's always Merseyside who's at the front or the forefront, wait, like, you know, on like, kind of, you know, flying the flag or whatever and all that. It is always Merseyside. And there is something about Liverpool, mate. There is something about Merseyside. And people look up to that. You know, and I believe if we can get the kids involved, unified together, you know, the rest of the country will take note.
There's been loads of young people, like, from the area, crocking on the screen, and going back to the MySpace again, you can see comments there for yourself, and it says, like, about time someone's doing something. Yeah. About time. It's like, it's not just about banning the others. It's about time. And like, they realise where you're coming from. It's not. We can all stand there and watch and go, ah, them kids, they're all they're doing this, they're doing that, and moan. Let's do something about it then. Let's give them something to do. Yeah. Let's give them a path to go down. You know
what
I mean?
Is there a fear that the kids who are really involved, we're talking about the kids who would naturally go to this, aren't in school anyway?
No, because the kids that, like, are engaged with the choir and whatever, and that, mate, you know, their dads and whatever are part of that kind of culture. Do you know what I mean? So what they're saying is they're making a profound message and giving a profound message to the dad and saying, Dad, I don't want you to do that because I want a dad. Do you know what I mean?
See, Liam's touched on, like, you know, it's going into the schools and all that, but we will be meeting them on the street and going out to where they are, do you know what I mean? We will be going to youth clubs or setting things up outside of the schools as well, do you know what I mean? So it's going to be open for everyone.
You know, we've got Merseyside Police involved now, you know, and that, you know, that's Peter Owens. He's really got on board with me on what we're doing and that. And there's going to be a redeem in the communities next year in the Liverpool Echo Arena, and that's going to be massive. That's going to be absolutely massive. But, you know, you've got people now who are wanting to partner, Brian, and it's not just financial or whatever and that. It's practical. It's about getting alongside and, like, kind of, you know, like, coming alongside and saying, you know what, mate, we're on this. We're with you. We're together. We're united. And Tom, come on board, and other people and that. Like, and it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger because, you know, we are saying enough is enough. What's going on today? What's going on today in Church Street, I believe, you know, where you've got, like, people, like, who handing out leaflets, BNP. You know, it's can't happen.
Well, the biggest threat to a democracy or anything is indifference, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the biggest threat to those kids' future is indifference. There's enough people sitting there doing nothing. When someone like yourself comes along and says, you know what, I'm going to have a go at it, that gets into the schools, that puts it out there, it's something that really, really deserves
to work. That's what I'm trying to get across, is that everyone can do it, you know what I mean? That's the voice, we're all the voice, aren't we?
Well, that's the thing, you know, it's not about Liam Moore or not about the song or whatever, it's about the message about you are the voice and you can make a difference in people's lives. And that means it's cold now, you know, go over and knock at the neighbour's door or something like that, you know, someone who's old, age pensioner, who needs help or whatever, that's all about being a voice.
Okay, Liam, that was Liam Moore and Tom Breen, and they're doing a project called You're the Voice, which I'm sure we'll have them back in early next year when the single comes out. And I'm sure everyone listening wishes you the really best of luck there. Thanks very much for coming in, lads.
Can you just shout the MySpace out so everyone wants to have a look? www.myspace.com/thevoice2008.
Just say it again.
www.myspace.com/thevoice2008.
And he does a great film.
Leave a comment.
I'll leave a comment. You've been listening to the best of Brian Reid. I'll be back next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Stay tuned for Tricia Goddard here on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
The best of Brian Reid. City Talk 105.9. Listen, and log on to the voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9.